Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 11th annual Morphe Awards. I'm one of your hosts, Jake.
And I'm the other one, Josh.
And we're here to give you all the awards for the 11th season. Not you, you're not getting all the awards. Let me start over. Someone's getting awards. But who? That's up to us. We don't know yet. I just woke up from a nap. So
we're here to give your awards to Ninja Storm people, places, and things.
Yes.
As they are applicable.
Yeah, you give the categories. We pick the winners. It's a backwards award show, but it's how we've done things, and so it's how we're going to keep doing things. Also, just for posterity's sake, we are recording this the day before the election, and that's all we're going to say about it one way or the other, because I don't want this episode to be a time capsule. So,
yeah,
this is going to come out post-election. And I know we're all hoping for the best. Josh, do you want to jump right into these awards?
Let's just do the thing.
I had a bit that I was going to do about how, like, we have a bunch of guests here. Like, there's the dog that peed that Chubo slipped in. And, like, there's Punk Kelly. And, like, it'd just be, like, random things from the show. And then I was like, ah, we're in quarantine. No one's going to show up. No one's going to be at an award show.
It would be a really good gag for a video. Just have a drawing of like the audience with like these little references in it. But it's harder to do on a podcast, and I wish someone would tell the Public Radio Alliance that it's hard to do visual stuff on an audio podcast.
Josh, I love that I have dragged you deep down into this terrible rabbit's hole.
I'm not in the rabbit's hole yet.
You're going to get in the rabbit's hole, and you're going to agree that it's the best one somehow.
I've finished the black tapes, and season 3 is just a big fart noise. 6 episodes of fart noises.
It's one metric tray.
And I'm in season 3 of Tannis, and I hope I can deal with Nick Silver for another 2.5 seasons, but it's hard.
Do you agree that that one is the stupidest one? That Tannis is extremely stupid?
It's very dumb. Okay. In a way that, like, the whole first season, I was like, am I supposed to laugh at this show?
No, it's dead serious.
What I do like about Tannis, though, is that, like, weird stuff actually happens, and they don't just allude to it in the season finale and then say that was not what happened in the next season premiere.
Right.
Like the Black Tapes does. The Black Tapes shows a bunch of stuff, and then, like, by the next season, nothing happened.
They're like, just kidding. That was jokes. It's like that. You ever see that that show with Jonathan Frakes, like, Fact or Fiction, where he's like, it's fake. It's not real. It's fake. You know, like, is it real or fake? Every single episode of the Black Tapes is like that. They're like, the guy was super tall and a ghost. And they're like, but was it? Maybe it's fake. And then at the end, they're like, just kidding. Nothing matters. This show is a waste of everyone's time.
Yeah, because, like, I don't know. I feel like what they're going for is, like, whose side are you on? Are you on Dr. Strand's side? Who's like, well, there's an explanation for everything. And a lot of this is probably just weird camera stuff.
Uh-huh.
Or are you on Alex's side, which is like, I do believe that, like, weird supernatural stuff is going on, and I'm trying to figure it out. The problem is nothing weird and supernatural ever actually happens. The craziest stuff that happens is, like, weird cult members will talk to them on the phone.
Right, and then there's one time they saw a video of, like, an exorcism.
Yeah.
And, like, that's it. Tannis is not, weirdly enough, Tannis did not receive any Morphe Awards again this season. It's snubbed
crazy.
Again.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
Maybe next year. Tannis is the Leonardo DiCaprio of the Morphes.
Well, look, if they did something good, then we give them an award. I haven't listened to the new season. Listen to everything else. The Pacific Northwest Stories, Public Radio Alliance, whatever the hell they want to call themselves. I've listened to all their stuff. And I love it. But it's bad and stupid. No one should listen to it.
I think it's in season 2. I listen to these at work, and I listen to, like, 8 episodes a night, so I really like they all blend together.
Man, that's a lot of Bombas ads, huh?
It's Squarespace, mostly, in Tannis. Okay. Bombas just started to show up.
Oh, boy, get ready for Bombas has some, they have some great ones where they're like, wow, that's really messed up. You know, shouldn't it be messed up? Socks.
I'm familiar with their Bombas episodes from the Black Tapes.
Okay,
good.
can't believe we've talked about this for so long.
I don't even remember where I was going with
this. You said something about season 3 of the Black Tapes.
Oh, in season 2, I think, is when they start talking about the last movie, and I don't even know if they had made Rabbits yet at that point. I think they did, because they start every episode with be like, if you like Tannis, you're going to love Rabbits. It's television for your ears.
No, it's not.
Donate to our Patreon. Nick Silver can eat shit. I hate that guy. He says Patreon. It's season 3 and he still says it wrong.
I love, and I don't know if he does it, but I love when people call their patrons Patreons. I was like, no, that each individual person is not a whole web service. Anyway, would you like to get to the awards?
I want to do the Morphies now, please.
Now that we've dunked on them.
I've just been keeping a lot inside.
I know. Last time we recorded, we got straight to Xenon Business, so we couldn't really, you know.
I think I really just started Tannis then, so I was so young and so naive.
God, I can't wait for you to listen to Rabbits. First, awards. We got a couple awards. We got a bunch of these. A lot of people sent them in. Thank you very much. First is from Tanner. Tanner, you got a cool new nickname. I hope you like it. Tanner, at Sparky Upstart, got 3 from them. First, the Viper Memorial Award for Best Worst Line Reading.
The thing about the Morphies, Jake, is that...
what's the thing about the Morphies, Josh?
The people who give the awards are putting a lot of faith into us remembering stuff from the season.
Yeah.
And I feel like last season we said, give us more generalized awards. And I scrolled through the topic and I don't really think we got that.
No. So let's see. Viper, best worst line reading. I don't remember anything anyone said.
Was this a silent season?
I think they it was mostly mimes in this one. I think so. It's obviously. I think
the big problem with this one is that nobody this season was a terrible actor.
No. You know what it was? I have one. I have an award for this. And it was in the last episode, so it's our most recent Ninja Storm memory. It's Hunter, and I forget exactly what he said. Okay, he said Sensei Amato made me the lead teacher of the Thunder Ninja Academy.
He did say Thunder Ninja, didn't he?
Thunder Ninja. He switched around some R's and some consonants. It's, you know, look.
Hey, I've never had to try to cover up a foreign accent to sound American, so I can only imagine how difficult that is.
No, so congratulations, Hunter, kicking the season off.
Because to him, he's not covering up a foreign accent.
No.
He's making a foreign accent.
That would be like if we went to France and had to speak in French and pretend like we didn't have a terrible American accent when we spoke French, you know?
Yeah.
This would also preclude I guess I shouldn't say it. I guess it's like if we went to Australia or New Zealand and tried to do their accent.
Yeah. It would just be, you know. I think it would just be offensive if we did
it. I don't know. I would be pretty solid at it.
The thing with an Australian accent for me is that it always ends up just being British when I do it.
Well, look, that's where they came from originally, a while ago. Who knows when? The history books have been lots of time. next, from Tanner, the Banana No Prize for Biggest Culinary Crime. Did they eat any food this season?
Was there any weird food stuff?
I don't know if there was a weird food, but there was definitely in the I Love Lothar episode, Cam and Blake drank the same, like, Tide Pod that fell into, like, the water. They were like, this smoothie tastes weird. And they tasted it, like, immediately. And I don't, like, I know that, like, they're 16. And when I was 16, if my friend was like, oh, this smells bad, smell it. Yeah, I would smell it.
Well,
I was an idiot, you know?
Because if you don't, you have to live your whole life wondering what that bad smell was.
Or if it was even bad at all.
Right.
And if they were like, this tastes bad, taste it. I'd be like, yeah, let me taste that thing that's bad. Because, I mean, you know, because we were idiots. We didn't know any better. We didn't know that we could just be like, no, thank you, to our friends.
I would rather not eat a gross thing. Thanks.
But I think I think that might be the biggest culinary crime is that.
The Windex that they drank.
It just, it looked like they dropped like a Tide Pod. It was like a love, it was like a bath bomb that they threw in a smoothie and then they drank it. And I don't know if that's necessarily, look, there's nothing is as bad as eating ketchup on a banana, a thing that makes me want to yak.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to top that. I don't,
yeah.
Mustard on an apple maybe, but that doesn't even sound as bad as ketchup on a banana.
Oh, I think that sounds markedly worse, but that's because I think mustard is might as well be labeled poison, because like, why would anyone eat that on purpose? It's the worst condiment, I think, in the entire, you know, on the planet.
It's good on brats.
I'd rather die than eat a mustard brat, honestly. Finally from Tanner, the Eagle Rider trophy for most wasted potential.
I'm going to give this to something that I think when I was glancing through, I might give to another one also later on. But I'm going to give this to Blake's secret special weapon that they had one episode.
Do you think that the cool spear he had has the same amount of wasted potential as them just making a Taylor the Eagle Rider show?
Well, yeah, because Taylor's not in Ninja Storm.
Right, but what I'm saying is, do you think they could have like had a huge? If do you think that the spear he had in one episode could have been like a good thing if that was the whole thing?
I think it could have been neat
if he just had a spear more.
I just think it's neat.
I'm going to give it to them not having a third beetle. Like Thunder Ranger.
Oh yeah, I think that is.
I'm gonna give it to Megan.
Yeah, congratulations, Megan. You don't exist, and you have more Morphies than Tannis.
And you always will. Next from Lewis at Boss LCA. Also, it's November 2nd again, so everyone's finally gotten rid of all their dumb Halloween names. So I just know I can just read your names, and no one's done any Christmas names yet because. We're kind of in a limbo currently. I have a Christmas name. I'm a hypocrite, yes, but I don't have to. No one has to read my name on a podcast. So first up from Lewis, the Rita You Stupid Award for failure in villainy. The original Rita You Stupid came about because she made a new Power Ranger that would just go on to kick her ass a lot, right?
Right.
Which is stupid, Rita. You stupid for that one.
I think what was stupid was Lothor hiring a guy who hates him to be a general and expecting that to go okay.
I mean, but then it was also sort of his plan to get him killed, though.
That's true. I guess that did work out the way he wanted it to, in that he did turn his back on Lothor, but in the process killed all the other generals, which Lothor wanted anyway.
Yeah, so that might be a Lothor, you smart kind of situation. I think it's I want to give it to Chubo because I hate him, and so I want to give the bad ones to Chubo. The bad ones to Chubo if I can. I think it's like. Remember when he made a whole island and then the whole thing was that, like, when the island sinks, the world's temperature will drop to, like, freezing everywhere, and then it didn't do that at all?
And then that's not how it worked in the next like, two episodes?
Like, it got cold for a minute back at Ninja Ops, and then, like, that was
it,
though?
They turned the heat on, and everyone was fine.
They were like, oh, maybe we just had an open refrigerator door, like, in that one episode of Angry Beavers, and it made everything cold. Chubo, you stupid.
Chubo, you suck. I still want to know what happens if Chubo puts himself in his backpack.
Maybe someday they'll get there in the comics and someone will be brave enough to answer that question. But I think they're just going to keep doing Mighty Morphin until the heat death of the universe.
That's how I see. It seems like instead of like moving on into Zeo, it's just going to be like, well, what if Mighty Morphin just kept being Mighty Morphin but changing? Well,
I don't know if you I haven't read them since like issue 11. I do want to. I think there's some cool ideas that I would like to see, you know, how they you know, do some stuff. Did you hear about the Solar Rangers or maybe the Omega Rangers?
No.
I think their name was. So you know how Jason and Trini and Zach went to a peace conference?
Mm-hmm.
Psych, they became space Power Rangers. They have their whole new suits. They have an alien blue ranger, so there's only four of them, and it's like they have like alchemical symbols like for earth, water, fire, and wind. So like that's kind of their motif, and they look really cool. And so like that's what they're doing, is they're being different Power Rangers doing other stuff, right?
Yeah.
So they've already decided that they don't give a shit about Zeo. They'd rather make up new Power Rangers for old Power Rangers to be than move on to anything after that.
Yeah, I don't know.
And look, I mean, I get it. I don't like it, but I get it. Because, like, you know which Power Rangers made the most money? The Mighty Morphin ones.
Yeah.
They make so much money that they still make the most money. Of all the toys on the shelves, the old stuff still, like, when they put out a new Blue Ranger, you know, a new Billy, Billy's going to sell more than whoever the hell the Blue Ranger is now. That's just facts, baby. So, like, I get that. And I get that companies are cowards and they don't want to do stuff that could be risky and not make them as much money as they want to make. But I do think it sucks that we're never even going to get to Zeo, probably.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of Power Rangers news that happened. Maybe we'll talk about that in our next episode when we do Dino Thunder. Or maybe we'll do
one more. I took my finger off the pulse, I guess. I haven't heard anything.
Oh, they boy, howdy, a lot happened.
It's funny because I follow the Power Rangers Twitter account.
It's nothing that they would talk about. It's like behind the scenes, like the guy that was gonna make the Power Rangers movie reboot, he's actually in charge of, like, he's basically the Kevin Feige of the new Power Rangers. I don't want to say cinematic universe, but basically their entertainment media going forward. So he's making a movie that's going to tie into like an adult TV show, and then there's still going to be
kids. I saw that. I did see this. That's going to stink. There's going to be like two different Power Rangers. It's going to be the kids show and like the show for grown-ups.
Yeah, look, there's going to be Power Rangers as we know it, which is increasingly a dumber and dumber show for babies. And then there's going to be Angel Grove, the Riverdale show, where sometimes they're Power Rangers.
I'm
gonna watch every episode of that, Josh. You better believe it.
Well, maybe when we catch up.
We're gonna have to.
I mean, it's our job, right?
We've got to, Josh. We've got to.
I just don't like it when they make kids stuff for grown-ups. It misses the point almost every time.
I think that's true. And have you ever watched any Riverdale?
No.
Okay, Riverdale's the dumbest thing this side of Tannis, but it is also the greatest thing on Earth because of how dumb it is and how everyone knows how dumb it is, but they just are so earnest about making it as good as possible when it has no right to be. There, spoilers for season 3 of Riverdale. So the main plot of season 3 is that Dungeons and Dragons is a disease that can kill you.
Oh, like Stranger Things.
Like, well, it's not, there's not a mod. It's like you can catch Dungeons and Dragons and then you'll die from it. Because you'll play it, and because you're playing it, a cult will come kill you, or you'll ascend to the next level. It's mostly a pyramid scheme, to be honest.
Are you describing rabbits to me right now in secret?
Rabbits make maybe more sense than Riverdale in some ways. Archie has to go hide out from his girlfriend's father, a mob boss.
Because plays Dungeons and Dragons?
He runs Dungeons and Dragons. It's called Griffins and Gargoyles. It's a whole thing. There's actually some pretty cool ideas they have with it. Everything else, it's like they've never even heard of Dungeons and Dragons before. They thought they made it up.
That is my favorite plot line from the comic strip, Archie.
Yeah, do you remember
when... the Dungeons and Dragons cult that will take you away you play the game.
My favorite is when Archie is hiding out from Veronica's dad, and a bear kills Archie. And then Archie gets better and has a bear wound on his chest for the rest of the show.
It's wild to me that they're like, they read Archie and they were like, hey, what if we make just a super melodramatic teen sex show about Archie?
Oh, dude, like literally the first episode, it's Archie having sex with his teacher. Like he's like 16. And he's having sex with a teacher.
So they were just like, we're going to take these characters and we're going to make a Netflix. It's not a Netflix show.
It's on,
but basically,
it's on network television.
Yeah, we're going to make a CW gritty teen show about Archie and Veronica.
And Jughead.
And Jughead. And Jughead. We're not going to change his name. He's just Jughead.
No, he's still Forsyth Pendleton Jones III, a.k.a. Jughead, and he's actually usually the best character on the show. Sometimes everyone gets stupid. Anyway, this is all to say that that dumb stuff happens, but then also sometimes in order to clear him off of the kill list for the Dungeons & Dragons cult, he sets up in an abandoned boxing ring, like at a boxing gym, and says, for the next 12 hours, anyone who wants to kill me has to come into this ring and fight me. And then he fights people for 12 hours, and it rules.
Oh, wow. That's a show.
So I would watch that, but if instead of Archie, it was Jason that did that.
Jason's not going to play Dungeons & Dragons.
Well, no, but what if he catches it?
That's true. Dungeons & Dragons is just It Follows.
The second Morphe from Lewis. The Viva La Diva Award for Greatest Achievement in Villainy. I mean, it obviously, it's got to go to Lothar. But, oh, maybe not. Maybe it goes to Mara for, like, the Beeville episode for psyching for freaking Dustin on the Okie Doke.
Oh, maybe. And like actually falling in love with him, but we're not gonna ever go back to that. We'll like hint at it in the finale, but
in the finale we'll do one thing about how he's cute and then we're gonna like dip away from there. Yeah.
It's a hard one because we didn't really find out what the big plan was until the end of the show.
No. But is there anything like that Lothar did that was just like rad earlier on? I mean, there has to be, right?
What if we give it to Mara for checking her nails while she beats up a whole ninja school?
That was actually, I think that's what it should go to, because that is very good. Just like casually, like, oh, look at that. I think I chipped one. Breaking someone's neck.
And later on, she couldn't spell the word big, I think.
And also, like, a five-year-old did, like, a white belt kata stance, and her and Capri fled. They ran away. Some old bull.
We're giving it to Mara.
The Leo is Bad, Actually Award for Worst Failure in Heroism. Nobody was that bad, so I'm trying not to compare them directly to Leo. I'm trying to think of, like, a bad thing.
I'm trying to I know we hated Hunter at first, but I don't think it was, like, a Leo reason. I think it was just because his character needed to grow and change.
He needed some work, yeah.
I don't know if any of them are literally make a choice that's, like, the opposite choice a good person would make.
Yeah. Like, the only thing I can really think is Hunter stealing the Gem of Souls to try to talk to his parents, because that, like, kept, like, a power source on the board that they needed to, like, put on the ends of drills or something to get into the bubble that didn't work or whatever. It was nebulous. But even that, I, like, understand why he did it and then why he didn't tell Blake right away.
Yeah.
You know? So, what if we give it to Cam for only upgrading his own stuff and kind of stop working on everybody else's stuff as soon as he's a ranger?
Yeah, I think I'm okay with that. That is, that's a pretty scummy move, Cam.
Yeah, I think that's kind of it.
I think that's it.
And finally from Lewis, the Kendricks Morgan Memorial Award for Greatest Achievement in Heroism. I mean, it's Tori fighting five evil versions of her friends, right? And just, like, ruckusing them until she, like, twists her ankle or something.
Yeah.
It's gotta be. That was dope as hell. All right, next is from Flo, at Flonler. Best Employee of the Month Award. I mean, Dustin, right? He'd stopped a burglary. He,
right?
He had that really funny bit about how he got 2-stroke oil instead of 4-stroke oil that I will probably think about for the rest of my life. Just he was like, "Bah, what am I gonna do with this?"
I can't raise hot pods with this.
Because I don't think Blake or Hunter did a ton that was great or, you know, bad.
They barely worked there after
there was
got
that
hired.
Time they did close the store at they, like 2:30.
I think mostly they just lifted up some boxes and moved them to the other side of the store.
They were just stock boys.
Yeah, I think it's Dustin. Dustin is the only one, like, besides Kelly, I think, that cared about that store.
Yeah. So that kind of segues right into the next one, which is worst employer of the month.
It was only one employer. That's, I mean, not a fair.
Does
Lothar, not a fair war.
Lothar employs villain henchmen, right?
He does make a lot of jokes about how, like, unions? His henchmen are his employees. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's Lothar, because I feel like Kelly's a good boss, and I would want to work for Kelly.
Yeah, unless it was punk Kelly. Like, she seemed like kind of a bad boss, but, like, also, like, she's a babe, so, like, what are you going to do, you know? Like,
she's a bad boss, but, like, not in the shitty way. She's a bad boss in the, like, just, like, whatever. Like, yeah. I don't care.
Because, like, also,
let my store
was...
fall apart because I'm too busy sitting on my bike or whatever.
Like, that... That place was still popping, so, like, clearly she's still doing something right. I think I'm going to give it to Lothar, because while he did always respect the union that they had, he did get all of his subordinates killed.
That's true.
Like, actively, so.
So, it's Lothar. Still respects his employees more than, like, a Walmart. If, like, just, you know, randomly to pick one, yeah.
The Tray of Triforia Award for most pointless addition to the series midway through. Is it the spear?
It's the spear.
Is it the spear?
It's nothing. You can take that episode out.
That spear was to
because
pop.
they don't even talk about it. Out. It's just this perfect little encapsulated episode.
They used it to pop a balloon monster, which I feel like they all have swords. They all probably could have popped him.
And just sit on him really hard. Like, you don't need a big spear.
Do you have a thumbtack?
I've seen enough Double Dare that I know a lot of creative ways to pop a balloon.
You know there's several ways to pop a balloon with or without a spear. And finally, the Uncle Disney said no. This is actually I'm going to change your word. This is the Papa Walt said no award for moment that most needed a kiss. I feel like I should give it to Blake and Tori.
You
right?
should, but also they had...
Nothing.
So they little had, chemistry that I don't really think together. they deserve to kiss.
I don't think if we were gonna for the first time in 10 Gregorian years do a kiss on Power Rangers, it's not gonna be Blake and Tori.
No,
you know
it's Jen and Wes. Like, come
on, it should have been Jen and Wes.
Can we give it to Jen and Wes?
Well, that was still under Papa Heim, so
that's true.
I think, honestly, I think it's either A, Shane and Skyla in that one episode, because she was down the clown for
there was,
sure.
There was some palpable tension.
Yeah. B, Tori and Cam at some point, aside from the cheek kiss, because, like, there you want to talk real chemistry, there it was.
Yeah.
Or C, Mara, Capri, and Tori do the triple kiss in that one episode.
I want to give it to Shane and Skyla, I think.
I think also Shane and Skyla. Rangers and Skyla, did not think I was going to give you an award today, but here you are with more awards than Tannis.
The award is just, should have kissed.
Should have done a kiss. From Matt Hoadley, at Matt Hoadley, Patron Zero, our friend. The Thomas Oliver Mesh Shirt Award for Most Questionable Fashion Choice.
I mean, we didn't talk about anyone else's fashion choices except for Tori's, I don't think.
No, I mean, I know we talked about, like, Dustin had a tracksuit that was really weird one time in the Beevil episode.
Man, I'm remembering Tommy's stupid shirt.
Look.
Why did he wear that?
You know, because maybe he was going to be playing dodgeball at high school later and he needed to be on the green team. Why else would you wear a mesh shirt like that? It's a mesh muscle shirt. Those don't exist outside of a bag and your gym class.
And they all smell funky. They smell awful.
Because it's been 19 years since anyone washed them.
Can't play dodgeball during the pandemic because you can't wear those nasty shirts.
For a lot of reasons. It's Tori's weird hemp belt, right?
Yeah.
It's gotta be.
Did she, were we at the point in the 2000s where it was just, girls just wore a bunch of layers?
I think we were kind of there, because she did wear, I don't think she wore, like an Ashley Tisdale skirt over jeans.
Yeah, you wear your jeans with, like, the dress over it, and then you have, like, a t-shirt over that, and then a spaghetti strap tank top over that, and then a belt.
And then a skirt belt thing. I don't think Tori got that bad. I don't think anybody had any choices that were that questionable. Besides, like, when Mara and Capri, like, dressed up as stuff, because that was, like, for a joke.
When their human disguise was, like, they were from the 70s.
Yeah, like burnouts. It's got to be Tori's little hemp belt.
Yeah.
Gotta be. Next from Jay at jchillo 1012, the Leo Award for "Are you sure you're supposed to be a ranger / good guy?"
We're naming a lot of awards after Leo.
I don't think he deserves it,
and I don't know if I like this trend.
I also think, like, given the season,
is this
nothing comes close enough that, like, you could,
yeah,
do that? You know, like,
yeah, no one did something that was actively, like, against the good guys.
I'm just now remembering that there was that time when Hunter and Blake went to Perry's workshop and were, like, accidentally bullying him into being their mechanic by being like, oops, I might drop something and break it, but, like, genuinely, like, they're just kind of dumb and klutzes, like,
yeah,
but that's as bad as it got.
Yeah,
really.
Is this different from the other Leo Award we just did?
No, you know, I don't think so. I think you're right. I don't think it's that different. Sorry, Jay. This one's going to be disqualified, or I guess compounded into the last one. So, see, I think before we started talking about Riverdale, I think it was a long time ago, actually. Next, from Eric at Eric J. Myers. Best Tory hair.
It's after she got the wave in. Once it got wavy, good hair.
She did get the good hair. I see. I think she, early on, she had a lot of, like, single braids. She would have, like, her hair, like, braided over her shoulder that was really good. I think it's got to be once it's wavy, though. I think you're right. I think once she lets it dry, like, air dry after surfing.
Yeah, well, that's when, like, the first episode of that is when you called her Tori with the good, good hair.
Yeah.
So I think it's pretty cut and dry.
I think so. Yeah, you're right. I mean, the real answer is Tori, like, Sally Martin, like, 4 years ago when she had really short hair for her soap opera. It looks really good. That's why when she was worried about getting her hair cut, I was like, I've seen the future. It looks great. Don't worry about it. Next, from Kimby at Furball _24, the Zane's Dune Buggy Award for best / worst vehicle. Well, it's worse because the Dune Buggy sucks, so we're gonna go with the worst vehicle.
Yeah, there's no best Dune Buggy.
No, the Dune Buggy was terrible. I think the answer is called the Dragon Force, the little thing. It looked like Rayquaza, and then it turned into, like, a little Lego ship with two drills on it that Cam used to get into a bubble, onto Lothor's ship.
This is
you did fall asleep during that episode, and so you kept
that explains a lot.
Not the episode we recorded. You seemed awake the whole time to me, but in,
yeah,
when you watched,
but watching it, I vaguely remember this,
because you thought, like, Cam unmorphed, popped up out from, like, a hatch, and that never happened. You had little PDD micro dreams.
Yeah, that's my only memory from that episode, is a fake one.
It's one that didn't exist. I think it's that thing, right? Because, like, the only other real option is the big wheel, the semi, which is just, like, what kind of whatever. And then the Hunter's little bike hang glider, which was fine, just kind of stupid. But like the Dragon Force was purposeless. Like it was such a weird, like, we gotta have this thing, cuz, and they didn't. Both times they used it, it barely worked. Like the first time, they didn't even do the thing they wanted to do because they tried to save the ninjas on the ship and then didn't.
Right.
So,
yeah, I think it's got to be that.
Yeah, going to that. All right, next we got a couple from Cameron at Cameron, and then this whole string of numbers, like a whole lot of them. We know we're a TV show award for most obvious and painful, or obvious parentheses, painful fourth wall breaking moment. It's Lothor's "This is the most fun I've had all season."
Yeah.
Because that was when I was like, you've gone too far now.
Yeah.
you've done it. You've crossed the line.
Yeah, you were straddling the line, and now you're just fully on the other side of it.
Yeah. I guess these are two, because it's the best and worst. And Cameron said it was like the last thing he did at night was answer, because I think he's in Australia. Yeah, I think Sydney is in Australia. I'm pretty sure. And so it's like the last thing he did at night after I asked for these. And he said, best, worst, Mariah and Katrina moments. Which he meant Mara and Capri, but so, you know, it happens.
the best ones are like when they get their stuff in order and say they were pretending to be dumb, and then they're like really cool for like a couple episodes.
Like two episodes, yeah. I think definitely when they killed Shimazu, right? Because he was like, I told you you'd get me killed, and I said, you're right. And then they killed him or something like that?
I think so. I think it was Shimazu, yeah.
That was pretty rad. Frustrating, the whole, like, kind of the conceit of it, but pretty rad, at least. The worst moment, I'm just going to keep going back to the time that a 5-year-old did a kata and they were scared, but they were just pretending to be useless.
Yes, it was all an act, you see.
To a 5-year-old, yeah, no, definitely everyone from the whole time, this was the plan. The whole time.
How very Tannis of them.
How very Black Tapes.
How very Black Tapes. Oh, this is what we wanted to do the whole time? No, it's not.
No, it's not.
None
idiot.
Of this. Like,
I
don't
too big for your britches, and now
I don't
want to
do this again
anymore.
But season 3 of the Black Tapes almost ignores the first 2 seasons.
It does. It's straight up. The first thing it says is, okay, I know you heard a lot of stuff at the end of the last one. Don't worry about it. Turns out that was all fake or a lie.
Now we're just going to throw out a bunch of religious terms at a bunch of places like rapid fire so you can't keep track of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And then it's just over.
And then just end it.
Listen to Tannis, please. We don't like this show anymore. It's basically what that season
kinda,
3
yeah,
was.
I always wonder like if something happened where everyone was like, this show sucks now. And Terry Miles, who is Nick Silver, sorry to like break the glass. Whenever we talk about Terry Miles, that's Nick Silver. He's the mastermind, the biggest air quotes you can find in the whole world behind that whole genre, the oeuvre.
It sucks because I know if a real writer got a hold of some of this stuff, it could be very good.
Right? Can you imagine?
Anyway, I'm sorry that this is just the Public Radio Alliance.
Look, it's
roast,
punching,
but
it's punching up. They have so much money that it doesn't matter what we say to them. So it's fine. We're going to try to move past it. The next, also from Cameron, best and worst Lothor moments. I know there was a lot of stuff. I wish I had the, let me pull up the, see if I can pull up the, the old Morphin Grid by the numbers. Thank you, Benny. on this one, yeah, I know who I'm signed in as. I need to see the bottom where I can change tabs. Christ's sake. I can't find a lot of Lothor worse. I know there was a bunch of them.
I think it was when he stopped being threateningly goofy.
I think it was I don't remember when it was.
And he started just being dumb.
But it was definitely like post the samurai back in time episode, where he just started being like goofy and like he like went back on his like, I don't care about timetables, I want results, to being like, I need them now.
Yeah, one of the best Lothor moments is the like, you can't just kill them as Power Rangers because they'll just keep getting stronger.
Yeah.
Like he knew how it worked, and then the worst is that when he forgot how it worked,
when he decided that maybe it's not how that works actually. The best Lothor moment is probably, I don't know.
Nothing's really
doesn't jumps out. I do genuinely love it. It was like episode like 3 or 4 when he was like, "Don't worry about how long it takes. I just want it to get done right." Like you gotta. Maybe it's both, right? Like the best is when he says you can't kill the Power Rangers because those keep getting stronger, and the worst is when he goes, let's try to kill the Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Even though that was part of his plan the whole time. fart noise. Finally from Cameron, weirdest Megazord power sphere.
I don't remember a lot of them. I remember the Serpent Sword, but I wouldn't call that a weird one.
No, the combination of the ram and the turtle to make the cup and ball, that's kind of weird.
That's a little weird that a cup and ball was like a weapon that they used.
Yeah. It's a little weird.
Like a 1920s kid's toy.
I think the weirdest one is the starfish that turned into a knee pad one time so that he could dragon knee Beevil to death. And the next time they used it, it stuck onto the monster and like blew him up or something. That's a weird one.
Yeah.
Also, the little lion Gatling gun is kind of weird.
That's
but I like
a
it.
Little weird. Was this the season that they just popped a sphere out to like bounce someone off their chest, or was that?
That was in the finale. That's when they did it to Lothor and it was dope as hell.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to the cup and ball. That's just so odd. What an odd choice they made.
Right? I think it's cup and ball. Next is, this is from Sean. Oh, this is another, the Zane Viper Award for most useless vehicle. Covered it. Next is from Chris, who does have a Thanksgiving name, so proving me wrong from the top of the show. At Kryptonian Blurred, the Rita Repulsa Award for the monster who had the most creative scheme to destroy the Power Rangers. I think it goes to Vexicus and the weird gold manta ray for we'll put Tori in another dimension.
Yeah.
Because that's weird. But like,
it is.
Pretty
it's not
good.
Just
it's
like
outside the box thinking, to be frank.
Yeah, we'll put her in the opposite dimension where the bad guys are the good guys and the good guys are the bad guys.
Yeah.
And then with her gone, we'll just kill the other ones. It'll be easy.
We'll just, like, she'll die, and then I guess we'll do it to another one. Like, we'll just, like, keep doing that. I do like that the only reason that plan didn't work is because Tori went, oh, I'm in an evil universe. this doesn't count. Whatever I do here doesn't matter. Let's just, you know, fix the problem and get out.
She was literally like, I'm going to help the bad guys kill these versions of my friends because they're evil.
And she got him, like, arrested.
Yeah.
Just, like, quit being evil. And he's like, I'm going to go skateboard. Or no, Hunter's like, I'm going to go skateboard. And then Shane's like, I think skateboarding sucks in this world. I think motocross is cool, actually. And they fought about that. Next from Chris, the Putty Power Award for most comedic use of the foot soldiers.
It has to be the cast and crew of Isle of Lothor.
Cast and crew of Isle of Lothor was extremely good. I'm trying to think if there was any other ones, but I just keep coming back to when they stole all their party stuff from Tori's birthday, and then one was wearing a bikini, and Blake was like, please, Tori, never wear that bikini again. I'm just going to be thinking about how sexy that Kelzak is. I guess if you wear it, if I ever see it again, she's like, I have no plans of doing that, so don't worry.
Yeah.
But I think it's the Lothor, Isle of Lothor.
Blake and Tori's relationship was the most poorly written thing.
On the one hand, yeah, it's really badly written. On the other hand, it's a pretty 16-year-old's you know, it's like a pretty high school relationship when you're not sure what you're doing and you also work together, you know?
It is, but it's like, I don't know. You're looking at Tori and you're like, hey, if you wear that bikini again, all I'm gonna think about
is the Kelzak.
Is that sexy, sexy Kelzak.
It's like, you proud fool.
She should have known it's not gonna work out.
She should have known. Next, the last one from Chris. The what? Hell yeah. What award for best moment of the season that, in hindsight, made no sense. You know,
I'm sure there's a few.
There's probably two or three. Yeah.
We were acting stupid the whole time. Oh, no, that's not cool, though.
That's not cool.
It's cool after that, but that actual event is not cool.
That is also a what? Hell yeah. What? But backwards. Like, yeah. It doesn't, like, you don't go like. You don't get better. Like, it doesn't get better. You end it with like, no, I don't like that. I think what it is the I just had it.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Oh no.
It's gone from my brain. I think now I'm gonna say something. I don't know if it's the same thing, and I don't know if it's gonna make sense. Is it the like the your mom had the amulet back in time and you have to go back in time to get it and fight your evil uncle? Because like when that was happening I was like hell yeah, but then it stopped being fine, and then it ended with the last episode of that, if you'll recall, he turned into the fly.
Yeah, so like what
it was definitely a they're going back in time, hell yeah, that's actually pretty cool. What? He's the fly?
Why was he the fly?
Because remember they did the talent show and the fly bit him. And he...
And that turned him into what?
They put fly DNA in him when he got bit by the fly, you see. And so he had to get the fly to bite him again to suck the DNA back out. Like how flies are. You know. Obviously. What? Hell yeah. What?
Yeah, I guess. I can't think of anything better.
This is from Cassidy, former guest of the show, at Mad Lobotanist. The Miranoi Award for most why Terra venture.
This was the other one. I was like, it's the spear, right?
It might be. I think if I give it to the spear, it's not because they just had it. He had a cool spear one episode, but they had it. They said that he got it literally right before, like the day before everyone attacked. And then they showed like several montages of him training with it, which couldn't have happened unless it was like, here's your spear. You're going to be practicing for the next 12 hours.
Right.
You know, which doesn't make any sense to me. I think it's probably like the Scroll of Destiny, like that whole thing, right? Like,
yeah,
because like why did they wait so long to tell us about the plan? It was literally part one of the. Can you imagine if Rita was just attacking the whole time, and then in Doomsday part one she said, this whole time I've been attacking Angel Grove because this is where Cyclops is buried and Tommy's my son. And I need to get him back to the evil side and kill him with Cyclopsis. So we already got rid of his powers. So now I just need to get him in Cyclopsis to kill. Can you imagine that? If like that's what happened? That'd be wild.
Yeah.
Or like if you didn't learn about Rancic's backstory at all until the finale. Like if you didn't know he killed Alex until the last episode, you know?
Right. And it's like, this is why Jen was so uppity the whole time.
Yeah. It's like, no, you gotta give us something. Like, it's idea. It's a really great idea, but why, Terra Venture?
You've gotta tell the story the whole time.
You can't pick and choose when you tell the story.
You can't wait until the end to tell the whole plot.
Runner-up goes to how Moto Drone is Perry, and then he's not Perry anymore. They physically removed him from Perry somehow. That's also kind of confusing, but on a much smaller scale.
Yeah. I don't like Moto Drone and how he's dressed like the Green Goblin with the blanket over his head.
Yeah, he's like straight up the Gold Goblin, like 100%. Like he even looks like him outside of it. Okay, so next from John at JT Wickham, 88. The Torying It Up Award for an outstanding Tory moment. I mean, I already gave it to her beating up five morphed Power Rangers.
Is this the same award again?
I think that was just like a general award that had to go to Tori.
It wasn't Tori specific.
Yeah. That was great. The Kendrick Morgan Memorial Award.
Okay.
So I think it's very small. It's a very small thing, but her looking over at a giant chicken and saying, "Excuse me, I have to save my friends. They're trapped in the popcorn." It's pretty outstanding.
I was actually thinking, what is this one again? Just the most outstanding Tory moment?
Just the Torying It Up Award. The Tore It Up.
Because part of me wants to be like the very, very beginning where she is the responsible one.
Yeah.
But it's got to be when she tells a big chicken she has to save her friends that are stuck in the popcorn.
They're trapped in the popcorn, you see.
That's a pretty outstanding moment of excellence.
Next, the Mediocre Monster Award for Worst Monster of the Week. All of the monsters of the week were pretty mediocre.
I am going to base this on the fact that I don't remember anything other than the generals from this season, that they're all pretty forgettable and unremarkable.
I remember a couple, right? I remember Footzilla. I remember the stamp guy. I remember the stinky snail who turned into super stinky snail. And
For the island, wasn't he?
He was the island. I think it was his. He put Gak on Hunter that made Hunter crazy.
Yeah,
he was like Blake, and he just had Gak on. He had like crusty Gak snot on his mask.
That's what happens when you leave the Gak out of the little container for too long.
But he did. You know what? The most unremarkable, the most mediocre one, it was in like the second or third episode. He was like a chameleon he was like made out of clay pots, and he never went invisible or blended in with anything. He just was like, he literally was like a guy.
His power is pots.
He had some pots. His power was the pottery scene from Ghost. And that was it.
Yeah, I think it's got to be the pot chameleon.
Yeah.
I don't even really remember him. I don't remember any of them. So you're talking about like on a stamp guy and a Footzilla, and I don't know those are.
You don't remember stamp guy? You kept licking people, turn them into stamps. He licked the grandma. He licked Blake's grandma, turned Blake and Hunter's grandma into stamp.
No!
It was
are
the same
sure
episode where Dustin got famous.
I guess I vaguely remember that.
When he got famous, because he like stopped a burglary, and the newspaper was like, "The Yellow Ranger stopped a burglary. We love the Yellow Ranger." And then like it kind of went to his head.
Yeah.
That same episode had a big stamp guy who's basically just a bunch of tongues who, when he licked you, you turn into a stamp for some reason.
Ew.
Yeah. But like, I didn't remember that a minute ago. Like, I had to like actively like electroshock my brain from the inside to get it to remember monsters. Except for Footzilla, who for some reason I think about all the time, because they just made a whole foot fetish monster and it was in Power Rangers. I don't, you know, they do things. Sometimes they just do things. Yeah. They don't think about the repercussions.
Bad season for Monsters of the Week, I think.
Yeah.
As far as design and power. They weren't the point.
They were not the point. And then finally, the Miss Potential Award, we already got one of those, gave it to Megan. This is from Jolly by Nature at BBR Jolly. The seasonal return of Chad's Mermaid Girlfriend Memorial Award for most bonkers seasonal subplot. A whole subplot that went like the whole time. I guess it doesn't have to go the whole time. It just has to like occur a couple times, right? Yeah.
It has to be than just like an episode, I guess.
Which kind of discounts Skyla.
Yeah.
Because I would say the fact that like there was a Tinkerbell that met Shane when he was a kid that came back and gave him bedroom eyes when he was like a teen is bonkers, but I don't think it's bonkers. The same. But also like two episodes she died and turned into his armor. And that was pretty weird, right? that a lady turned into his armor.
And now he wears her.
She turned into a flame bird that had a lady face, and then that's now his muscle butt suit.
Yeah.
That's pretty weird. I don't know if I would still give it that. Seasonal subplot that is bonkers. I'm just trying to think of like things that happened twice. Right? Like, is it...
I don't know. I got nothing.
I don't know. We gotta give it something. So it might end up just going to that, even though that wasn't a seasonal subplot, it was just an episode plot, more or less. Maybe it's the
there was a two-parter though, at least.
It was a two-parter. Maybe it just goes to like the like factory sponsorship stuff. That like oh, Blake and Hunter might get a sponsorship. Just kidding. They only want whoever wins this race, and it was Blake.
And there's that weird guy that was like, let me take your bike. I'll fix it.
That was Dwayne, and do not besmirch the good name of Dwayne.
Maybe it's Dwayne.
I don't remember Dwayne's last name. He was only one episode.
Maybe Dwayne is the most bonkers subplot. Even though he's only in one episode, it's crazy that he started off as like the swarmy, I'm going to steal your motorcycle.
And then he was just a great dude.
And then he ended up just being a really like decent guy. And I don't remember why he was there.
He was just there. There was no reason. He was just there. And then he's like, Dustin was like, ah, man, my bike. And the guy was like, hey, your bike's losing juice on the turns. I will take it to my workshop up there.
I'll fix it up there.
And you can come pick it up there. I won't bring it back. You got to pick it up. And here's my business card, which if you'll recall, the address was printed wrong. So it was empty. So we thought it got scammed by Dwayne. Even though he didn't, Dwayne just wanted to give him a piece of experimental dirt bike tech. I love Dwayne.
I guess he was supposed to be like a red herring for the episode or something. I don't know. I'm giving it to Dwayne. He deserves a
Let's
Morphe.
Let's give it to Dwayne. Dwayne deserves more Morphes than Tannis.
Yes.
Next is from, this is the last of the tagged ones, and I will really quick go through and see if there are any untagged ones. The Lucas Kendall Primorial Award. This is from Midboss at First Stage Midboss. The Lucas Kendall Primorial Award for Strongest Black Ranger Energy. Is it Hunter or is it Blake?
I think it's Hunter. Blake is too mild-mannered.
Yeah.
He's too normal.
Blake would be the Pink Ranger if they weren't cowards. Right?
Yes.
But Hunter would definitely be a Black Ranger.
Yeah, I think so.
Because, like, he kind of wants to be the leader, but he's not good enough to be, but still thinks he is sometimes. This is no shade on any other Black Ranger, because, you know, one of our faves was a Black Ranger for a long time. He didn't try to, like, steal anyone's spot. He knew where he was stood.
Yeah.
And that was murking fools, which is pretty
which,
great.
Which, like, Adam is very mild-mannered, too, for the most part, I think. But he's mild-mannered in, like, a stoic way, whereas Blake is just, like... I don't know. Blake is almost not a character. Sometimes he's just kind of like, yeah, they needed another one, so here's Blake.
Yeah.
I have a crush on Tori, but I don't know what to do about that.
I think they were like, he has a crush on Tori. Good enough. That's a good enough character motivation, right? And the answer is no. It wasn't.
No, you need more than one thing. You need more than just wanting a drink of beer.
Jeff?
I'm at the part now where Jeff is missing, and I'm like, who cares? He's probably at the bar. Have you checked the bar?
Do you know anything else about Jeff yet?
Probably.
They haven't mentioned his, like, background?
Not really, no. Okay. I know, like, about his brother, obviously. And I know that Nick will, like, call him when he needs to go somewhere and doesn't want to go alone.
When he needs, like, a strong man to be next to him? Yeah.
And then he called him once and he was running and I was like, oh, that means that like something bad's about to happen because he just wants to exercise all the time. and then he disappeared. So, and I think I think he's trying to find him. And that's all I think we're like about to get into like some of his backstory and stuff.
You're going to find out some stuff about Jeff and you're going to go, oh, who cares? At best, you'll go, oh, that's stupid.
My favorite thing so far is at, like, the beginning.
The way
of...
he says, get a beer, it sounds like a cop would say it. Like, yeah, a cop trying to, like, get you to commit perjury on yourself. Yeah.
Not about Jeff. Just at the beginning of season three, when Nick is like, a lot of people are asking if me and Mir Katnip are dating, and we both
talked about it.
And we decided that it's not part of the story, and so we're not going to tell you, which means, yes, we are.
Which means, no, you're not. Not even a little bit. You loser.
She came over to my house because I told her when I was kidnapped as a kid. And I heard the voice of the dark. I hate Tannis.
Nick Silver sucks so much.
Nick Silver sucks.
All right. We got a couple non-tagged ones. This is gonna. We are now in a shame round for all the people who did not follow the One Direction, which is use the tag, the hashtag. Former guest of the show, Dawood, at Dowfac. Most non-existent character arc, Blake.
Blake, yeah.
Didn't exist.
They teased one of, like, him and his relationship with Tori, but it never evolved. Time they brought it up, it was, like, the first time.
They kept resetting to one, even though it's, like, he's, like, I like you. And she's, like, oh, okay, yeah, that could, we could do. And then the next time, she's, like, do you want to smell stinky from the perfume? And then she sprayed her, like, in the mouth with the perfume and ran away. And she's, like, no, I don't think this would go anywhere. And then they tried, like, the next day, they're, like, oh, maybe I like you. It's like, you just said it. Like, what do you mean, maybe?
I thought you were dating by the end of the last one.
I thought that's what the whole thing was. So, yeah, most non-existent character arc, Blake. Best character arc, Cam?
Cam, I think, is a really good one. Hunter going from completely unlikable to pretty likable.
To do, like, solid, like a solid B-plus player. Yeah. A good hand.
Yeah, but I do think Cam is better as an arc overall, and not just like, well, we changed Hunter's character to make him enjoyable.
Right, we made him stop trying to use his Batman voice. And then worst character arc. I mean, is it Vexicus or is it Mara and Capri?
I think it's, unfortunately, Mara and Capri.
I think also unfortunately. Vexicus was pretty bad. Because he was like, I'm a cool guy, and I just get worse from here.
Vexicus was pretty bad, but it was at least consistent with his character.
Yeah.
Where Mara and Capri were just all of a sudden like, we were faking it. Everything was jokes that we did.
And then they were good guys because Lothar, like, turned on them, and then they're like, we'll just be airheads now. We're kind of like value neutral airheads, if that's cool. And I was like, I wish you would have been at least that the whole time, you know? So yeah, worst character arc, Unforge, Mara and Capri. This is from, this cannot be your real name, OG Singletary Stan. I don't know what that means. At Grind Bass or Grind Bass, but I think it's bass. The most radical award. Josh, what was the most radical?
The most radical was all the action sports they played.
Do you remember when Dustin did a big jump at the action games?
Yeah, I remember when they were like, oh, Dustin's supposed to be in the race, and then instead he did a big jump.
Did a big jump and kind of beefed it? That was pretty bad. I think actually it might be Tori being like, I'm going to get in that Megazord by myself, and I'm going to whoop some ass by myself.
That was pretty radical.
Everyone had a turn doing that, but she did it first. So I feel like maybe she gets it. I'll tell you what's not the most radical. That terrible action games commercial video they shot. Boy, that was pretty booty.
I think the most radical, actually, is Blake and Hunter rapping.
You talking about the Moto Bros?
Yeah, the Moto Bros. You know the Moto Bros.
We're the Moto Bros. We're the Moto Bros. And something, something. And the Moto Bros.
And the Moto Sister, Dot.
The Moto Sister, Megan.
That's Megan. Yeah.
I think that's it. I think that is all the Morphies we have received.
All right. Well,
we do have a couple that we do separately just to run them through real quick. It's best, worst, and favorites. First one's going to be tricky.
Okay.
Worst monster.
I think
we covered that with Clay Pot.
Yeah. Clay Pot. Clay Pot, the chameleon man.
All right. Best monster. Do you see this? It's weird that the monsters were pretty unremarkable this season. I'm going to be thinking about like the orgs designs for a while, and that season like, was not wonderful.
Ghost
but,
ship org, I think about him every day.
Right, like they were pretty great. I don't.
I'm looking. I'm going to see if I can't find a list of the monsters.
I mean, you probably can. Let's see if I can do this off the dome. Who
Ninja
was cool?
Storm monsters.
I think.
I wish. Hey, people who run the Ranger Wiki, if you ever get this,
stopped listening to this a long time ago,
to a place where it's functional. a cool thing would be like I'm looking at a list of the monsters. Let me hover over their name and just see a picture.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Because like, what the hell is Snipster? I don't know. I'm not about to click it and bog my computer down.
Snipster was the crab. He might have been a crab that cut. What? He's the one who cut the ties that bind.
Best monster is Beevil, right?
Oh yeah. I think it's Beevil, who might just be Mara in a mech suit in the Sentai. We don't know. And then favorite monster.
Is that also Beevil?
I don't know, because Beevil didn't actually do a ton in that episode, to be fair. Can you just list off a couple names and see if they jog a memory? Even though I do give them their own bespoke names and never learn the names of the monsters.
Yeah, Isaac. Remember Isaac?
Oh, Isaac is the worst monster. Do you remember Isaac when he was the big, extremely creepy monster made of eyes who made you see your worst fear?
Yeah.
Yeah. His name's just Isaac. That's the worst.
Who's Mr. Ratwell?
He was the director of
Big Rat Monster.
He was the director of I Love Lothar.
Yes. Yep.
He was just a big rat. Blake and Hunter fought him on the beach.
Sucker.
For Tori's honor. That's not a real one.
Oh, yep. Sucker. He's like a big mosquito monster.
Oh, that's who gave that guy suck too. That's the one who gave Cam fly disease.
Yeah.
Does he have a sash around him that says like winner or something?
He has like a big scarf on in this picture.
Played by Chris Jericho,
I guess. Baby. What about Bopperu? Did we like Bopperu?
No, we hated Bopperu.
We hate Bopperu. Bopperu,
we hate Bopperu.
Bopperu, you might as well be Nick Silver. You suck so bad.
I don't know when this podcast turned into a Nick Silver like hate club, but
let's see. Terramole
was nothing, I don't think.
Lost ninjas.
Those are just some ninjas in the woods.
There's some ninjas in the woods. They might be they look like they were pretty cool.
I think favorite monster might be just the ninjas who were in the woods that one time. That was pretty neat.
Florabundicus?
Florabundicus was the one that
from Nowhere to Grow.
Yeah, took over the plant house.
Blueface? Blueface is a mantis-themed monster who serves as the primary villain of the pilot episode of Ninja Storm. I don't remember this guy at all. He's got like a big scythe.
Oh yeah, we thought it was we thought that was Zergane when we watched it, because he's in it for like 1 second. And has a similar silhouette to Zergane. I think that's enough for this round.
Okay, no, I know our favorite monster. I know the real winner here.
Okay, who's the winner for favorite?
Clone Tori.
Oh yeah,
the big beehive hair and just the bad attitude.
Easily Clone Tori.
Who?
God,
ironically,
she was so good.
I think was created by CopyPot.
I think you're right. Well, you know, sometimes even a bad thing can make a good thing, like how I enjoy rabbits, even though it's made by the same people who made the other ones. Yeah, Clone Tori was so good.
Yeah.
And then now it's for episodes. Best, worst, and favorite. Those are kind of done already for us, because the best episode is Leave It to Beevil. It's the best episode. The worst episode is Boxing Bopperu.
Yeah.
So favorite episode, I think mine might be, if it's not Leave It to Beevil, it's the Wicked Wipeout.
Wicked Wipeout is really good. Beauty and the Beach is really good.
Beauty and the Beach is very good.
Even though it does have a coffee pot.
Yeah, but like that's not really like the good thing about, you know. But like, yeah, I'm not going to remember that. I already forgot about that, but I am going to remember Tori just being like, stop the car! Or like going up to like a guy and screaming in his face to get out of the way, like as they're doing construction. She screams with her whole mouth.
I Love Lothar was fun.
It was pretty fun.
But I don't know if that's my favorite.
I think mine's Wicked Wipeout, because I love it. Like, we went to a different universe where we're all different there, you know?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna... I think I'm gonna give it to Leave It to Beeble for me.
Okay, fair. And I think that's it. I don't... It's been so long since we've done one of these. I don't remember this anymore. I'm pretty sure that's it. For our... Like, the ones that we kind of do at the end. So I guess all there's left to say is that's it. That's all, folks.
That's a wrap. Ninja Storm is done. It's over. It's in the books.
It's in the books. I'm sad to see it go. I know there's a lot of parts that, like, towards the end really stick in my craw, you know? But I love the cast so much. The cast was so good. And, like, I like the suits and I like the... I think the idea of having a lot of generals is like could, even though they did it kind of weird.
I think if you're going to have a lot of generals like that, you have to do it. You have to kind of get rid of the monster of the weeks.
Yeah.
Do like a Tattoo Teenage Alien Fighters or Beverly Hills style where like you just rotate through the same six monsters.
Right. Because I know like a lot of Sentais do that where they have like a stable of generals and like each one has like their monsters have like a different theme that they send down, and like that's kind of like a thing that happens, and like I like that. I don't think it translated as well this season.
It would have been better, and I hate to say this because I love Lothar,
right,
but it would have been better if they did not have like the tip of the pyramid and it was just these bunch of generals were all competing
to be
against
the
each
one.
Other to be like the ones that defeat the Power Rangers or to be the ones that the big evil Abyss doesn't want to nummy up.
Wants to give the power to instead of screw me down on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm really sad. I feel like we were cheated out of a lot of really good one-off episodes that we could have gotten that like we just didn't have time for because they were too busy doing a 15-parter on a f-ing island, which historically is bad every time you do it. Yeah. Anytime you go to an island, because if you're there for longer than one episode, it gets bad. Like we wasted so much time on Chubo. I think we introduced like the Thunder Rangers way too early.
Yeah, that could have used some better build up, I think.
Yeah. But like other than that, like everyone was really fun. You know, even like Shane, who I think is the most value neutral Power Ranger of the set. Right? Because like Blake, yeah. I would say Blake and Hunter are like on the lower end. Cam is in the middle with Shane. I guess Shane's like in the middle, then Cam's a little higher, and then Tori and Dustin are higher than that. Like everyone was really good. The Sensei was good because he played two people. He played Lothar and Sensei. That was pretty great.
Two very different people.
Yeah, Mara and Capri were awesome.
Yeah,
like the cast was so good. I just want to see more of them. Like I want to see more in at Blue Bay Harbor, but we're not going to get that. We got to go to Dino Town, USA. Go learn about dino school. Why does a paleontologist teach at a high school? Is my big question going into Dino Thunder.
Is it a high school?
Yeah, they're in high school, I think.
Well, you know.
Because they get detention, and you don't get detention at college.
Does he teach paleontology, or is he just like a high school biology teacher?
Oh, that might be. Yeah, I don't know.
Because I guess once you're a dioctor, wow.
A dioctor? That's when you're two doctors at one time.
A doctor of, like, some kind of life science. You can just be a biology teacher,
yeah,
I guess.
Just get geologist, paleontologist, doctor of thugonomics. You can just get a job teaching
at
school no matter what.
Yeah, you can teach some kind of science.
Yeah. Two-faced rappers walk away before shiners. We all know that. So that's going to do it for us for Ninja Storm. That's a wrap on Ninja Storm. I think next week we're going to take a week off. Not us personally, but
yeah,
the episodes will.
Of the show, yeah.
So we can get at least like a 1 week back order on on Dino Thunder.
It was nice coming in Ninja Storm with like four episodes ahead.
Yeah, we were eight at one point. We were eight episodes ahead. We were a full month ahead, and it was pretty nice. And then a lot of stuff happened that just ate right through it.
And then the back half of this year just has sucked the worst for me.
Boise,
so.
Yeah. Glad you're feeling better. You can taste and smell again, right? Cool.
I'm at the point now where just like maybe it won't come all the way back.
Hey, kids, wear a mask. Don't go places
just
you don't need to.
Wear a mask.
Just
like
be cool.
I work third shift now at Walmart to like limit exposure. Like is the main reason why.
Yeah.
So I'm not just in Walmart with like the nasty public all day.
With the nasty Kentucky public.
It sucks. It's really hard to work on third shift and like do anything else.
Yeah.
So I've already asked though if I can go back to second shift and just roll the dice. But just put a mask on. Like,
just wear a mask for everybody else.
For me, I don't want to catch COVID a second time in 2020, please. Thank you.
No. We had a COVID scare last week. Scoot's coworker's fiance, like she works at a restaurant, and they found out that someone with COVID was at that restaurant, but they don't know when. So by the transitive properties of how catchy COVID is, like Scoot might have had it. So we went on to like soft lockdown for 4 days while he got like tested and cleared, and it's fine. But like even that's a little scary, and we're spiking again. So just don't go anywhere you don't have to. Put your mask on. I put up the first Frankencast, and we recorded it in March, and we're like, hopefully by the time you hear this, the pandemic will be over. What baby idiot fools we were!
Well, unless you're in New Zealand, that's not true.
Even them, I heard they got a spike because a bunch of people here were like, no one in, we can film in New Zealand because no one there has it. So they flew over there, brought the COVID with them. Yeah, I don't know how bad it got. I don't think it was terrible. I think we would have heard about that. But like, it's just like, y'all be nice to your fellow humans and wear a goddamn mask if you gotta go somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. I just hate the dumb people that live in this state with me.
They're not just there. They're everywhere.